Just want to thank Joanne as always for.
I want to welcome Donna back.
Yes.
We hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
And apologize for not being in touch. I was concerned, but I heard you were okay.
Let me second that. Thank you. What I want to talk about a little bit this week was something very strange that happens at the end of the parasha we read this past Shabbat, Parashat Tetzaveh, which is the whole story of the Mishkan, which began the previous parasha in Parashat Truma, which is built on the idea of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tocham. It comes to an end. It's a very beautiful actual language at the end of Tetzaveh. Not the very end, as we'll see. And it says that the project will be successful. Parsha Truma is all about the Klei HaMikdash. Parsha Tetzaveh is largely about the Bigdei Kohanim's, particular Bigdei Kohen Gadol, and the transformation that they underwent during the 7 days, when we call the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. And then Hashem testifies, V'shachanti v'toch b'nei Yisrael, v'ayiti lachem le'lokim, and everybody's going to know that I am Hashem, that I took you out of the land of Egypt, l'shachni b'tocham, so that I could dwell in your midst, not just to take you out of Egypt, but for higher purposes. Ani Hashem elokeichem, v'zel. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have Mizbeach HaKtoret. So the Mizbeach HaKtoret is one of the vessels of the Mishkan, so it should have really been in Parshat Truma. It's very strange. It's completely out of place. I mean, the whole idea of the Mizbeach HaKtoret isn't so obvious, right? Because why can't you offer the Ketoret where you offer everything else? There's a special Mizbeach. We call it the Mizbeach HaOlah. Sometimes we call it the Mizbeach HaChitzon because it's out in the Chatzer. Sometimes we call it the Mizbeach HaNechoshet because it's made of Nechoshet. And the Torah says here at the end of the Parshat Tetzaveh that there's a special Isur, there's a special prohibition that you're not allowed to offer any other korbanot on the Mizbeach HaKtoret. So the whole institution is very odd. So the first question we have to deal with is, why is it out of order? It's one of the Klei HaMishkan, it's a very important Kli. It should be in Parshat Truma, it shouldn't be in Parshat Tetzaveh. Question number one. Question number two is that any one of the Kohanim could have offered the Ketoret. And yet every time the Torah seems to discuss it, it says, Uvalot Aharon Netanerot Ben Harbaim Yaktirena Viktir Alav Aharon Ketoret Samim Baboker Baboker. As if it's like Aharon's special job. Now the Ramban, no less an authority than Ramban, says he doesn't know the answer to this question. Why does the Torah make it seem that it has to be Aharon? If it doesn't have to be Aharon, there's no halacha that says it has to be the Kohen Gadol. So he says, okay, maybe Aaron had to do the first one, but he's not really sure. So the Ramban's not really sure, I'm not really sure, but I'll make a suggestion. Okay, so we have these two questions that I want to try to work on a little bit. Again, why is the Mizbeach HaKtoret at the end of Parsha Tetzaveh, number one? And number two, why does the Torah make it seem as if it's Aharon's sort of like personal obligation when there's very little evidence that that's really the case, that Aaron has to be the one to offer the Ketoret? So the basic rayon, the basic stipulation that I want to make to answer both of these questions, and of course I have to prove it, I can't just say it, is that there really was a very personal and unique connection between Aaron and the Ketoret. And allow me to prove this in three different ways. Okay, if that's true, then we understand exactly why the Torah would have delayed the presentation of the Mizbeach HaKtoret to Parsha Tetzaveh. Because let's think about it. What is Parsha Tetzaveh all about? The first three aliyot of Parsha Tetzaveh are all about the Big Day Kohen Gadol. V'ata hakrev alecha et aron achicha v'et banav ito mitoch b'nei sholacha anuli v'asita Big Day Kodesh l'aron achicha l'chavod l'tifaret. And it discusses all of the special, what we call the Big Day Zahav, because all of the Gadim of the Kohen Gadol have the element of Zahav. Not only Zahav, but Zahav, Tchilet, Vagaman, Tulat Shani, Vishesh Mashzar. So every Kohen has a Michnasayim, has a Ketonet, has an Avnet, has a Migbat. In addition to that, the Kohen Gadol has the Choshen, he has the Ephod, he has the Meal, the Tzitz. They all have Zahav, and then we call them the special Big Day Zahav. So the first topic in Parsha Tetzaveh is Big Day Kohen Gadol. The second topic, as I mentioned, is the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, the days where Aharon and his son were transformed from being regular members of the Jewish people, being members of Shevet Levi, to actually being Kohanim. Okay? And then we have the conclusion of that section, and then we have the story of the Korban Tamid, And then we have the Mizbeach HaKtoret. So basically, the idea is Parsha Tetzave is all about Aharon. We all know the famous comment of Chazal that it's the only Parsha in the Torah after the birth of Moshe. So from Shemot until Vezod HaBracha, that what doesn't appear, whose name doesn't appear? Moshe, right? Because it's the one Parsha that's reserved for Aharon. So if it's true that the Ketoret in particular has a special association with Aharon, then it makes a lot of sense that the Mizbeach HaKtoret should have been delayed and put into his Parsha. But I still have to prove that. I still have to prove the idea that there's a special connection, right? So the structure, the Parsha, the narrative is already suggestive, but we have to go much further than that. Okay, so let's begin. So as I mentioned, you're not allowed to offer any other korbanot on the Mizbeach HaKtoret. It's reserved for the Ketoret. That's why it's Vasita Mizbeach Miktar Ketoret. Now the question is, why is this separate from the regular Mizbeach? So there are three different classical approaches to this. The first is the approach of Rambam. And the Rambam wrote in the Mor Nevuchim that the Ketoret isn't really a korban like every other korban. Every other korban has a special role. And the Ketoret is just because, if a lot of animals, a lot of behemoth are going to be slaughtered in the Mishkan, so then there's going to be, Hanan was just talking about this last week, there is going to be a difficult smell, and it's going to be very unpleasant. And so you need a Ketoret so that it will make things a little bit more pleasant in the Mishkan. Okay, so that's one approach. The Sforno has a different approach. The Sforno says that the Ketoret is also different than all the other korbanot. He says the job of the regular korbanot was to achieve the goal, v'yasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. But once Hashem chooses to dwell with the Jewish people, we need a special korban, almost like a korban todah, to thank God for being willing to dwell with the Jewish people, and that's why the Ketoret is segregated off from the rest of the korbanot. That's the approach of the Sforno. The Ramban has a third idea. The Ramban says, similarly, that he thinks the Ketoret has a different tafkid than the rest of the korbanot, but he says the tafkid is based on a pasuk in Vezod HaBracha. The Torah says, Yasimu Ketora Ve'apecha. He says, Be'apecha really is derived from the language of Charon Af, that when God is angry at the Jewish people, the Ketoret will play a role. And we'll come to this a little bit later. We see that in Sefer Bamidbar in Parshat Korach, when there was a terrible magifa, 14,700 people died, and Moshe tells Aharon, Kachat HaMachta, you should take the pan and fill it with Ketoret, and run into the Eidah, and it says, Vayamod ben ametimu ben achayim, with the Ketoret vateyatzara magifa. So the Ramban says the Ketoret isn't like the rest of the Korbanot, whose basic function is to exist in the Mishkan. The Ketoret is to protect the Jewish people from a magifa, and therefore it's kept off by itself, and that's why it's in Parshat Tetzaveh, segregated for the rest of them. So I want to go in a little bit of a different direction than the Rambam, than the Sforno, than the Ramban. I want to try to develop a whole different idea. Okay. We noted that you can't bring any other korban on the Mizbeach HaKtoret. But there are three times a year, or three times in the halachic system, where you sprinkle blood on the Mizbeach HaKtoret. Okay, three times. One of them is already referenced in Parsha Tetzaveh, when you have to purify the Mizbeach. Let's say something happened to it, somehow it became impure. So on Yom HaKippurim, after the Kohen Gadol does the Avodat Hadam, actually in the Kodesh Kadashim, right, so he comes out and he sprinkles blood on the Mizbeach HaKtoret, also known as the Mizbeach HaZahav, because it's made of gold, or the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now, we know the halacha dictates that all of the Avodah on Yom Kippur had to be done by who? Okay, so only the Kohen Gadol, that means Aharon and anybody who would follow Aharon, Mibanav Tachtav, after him, can sprinkle blood in the context of this first instance. The second instance, and this is doubly connected to Aharon, is what we call Par Kohen Mashiach. The Kohen Mashiach is a synonym for the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol makes a certain kind of a mistake, a significant mistake in his role as the one who's supposed to be Mechaper al Bnei Yisrael, so the Torah says in Sefer Vayikran, Berak Dalid, that there's something called the Par Kohen Mashiach, and there the blood is brought Lifnei Hashem, into the Mizbeach HaPnimi, into the Mizbeach HaKtoret, and he would sprinkle the blood there as opposed to on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Okay, so that, of course, is doubly related to Aharon. It has to be the par of a Kohen Gadol. It's only if a Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, and he would be the one to do the Avodat Hadam as well. Then the third instance, where there's actually blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, is something called Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur. It's a situation where the leader of the Jewish people, the leaders, the Beitin, makes a mistake in their Hora'ah, and the majority of the Jewish people listen to them. How do you measure the majority? Is it the electorate? Is it you know, the electoral college? Is it the popular vote? This is a whole discussion about that. Is it the majority of each tribe? Is it the majority of the tribes? Okay, we'll leave that aside for now. But we'll say if it's Rov HaKahal, however you define that, you'll be interested to know, only Jews in Israel get a vote. The Gemara says, Kal Yisrael Sheberetz Yisrael Nikrain Kahal, B'chutz La'aretz Inan Nikrain Kahal, they're not part of the Kahal. Okay, that's important for everybody to know. Another good thing to be aware of. Okay, so we have to know that. However you measure Rov of the Kahal, if the leader of the Jewish people causes the Jewish people to make a terrible sin, so then instead of each individual Jew bringing a Korban Chatat, so the Beit Din brings the Korban, and that's called the Par Elam Davar Shel Tzibur. So the fact that it's a par, and there are many other aspects of it that seem to call to mind the story of the Egel Azav, when Aharon, who was leading the Jewish people, because Vayaram Kivoshesh Moshel Redet Minahar, Moshe was up on the mountain, Aaron was leader of the Jewish people. It wasn't intentional, right? He said, Chag L'Hashem Mechar. He tried to push the Jewish people off. He tells Moshe that, when Moshe asks him, Ma'asa L'cha Amazah, you know, what did they do to you to get you to do this? And he says, you know, it happened sort of by accident. So even the Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur seems to be based on this story involving Aaron. And in any event, the Torah says that the only Kohen who's allowed to offer the blood for the Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur is the Kohen Gadol. Okay? So every single time you have blood on the Mizbeach HaKtoret, it actually does need to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's interesting. Point number one. Point number two, in terms of developing the relationship between the Ktoret and Aaron, there are two basic instances in the Torah where Aaron's right to be the Kohen Gadol was challenged. Most famously, in the rebellion of Korach, you have Moshe says to them, you know, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, V'kashtem Gam Kuna, he sees that what Korach really wanted was to be the one that gets to run the Beit HaMikdash, and he says, okay, Boker V'yodah Hashem Et Asher Lo, so we're going to have a competition. We're going to see who's the real Kohen Gadol. So if you're having competition, you have to, you know, somehow think of what the test is going to be. So he doesn't say, let's everybody offer a Korban Ola, we're going to see what's happened. Let's everybody offer a Korban Shlamim, or a Korban Chatat, or a Korban Todah. What does he say to them? He says, Aaron's going to take his Ketoret, and you're going to take your Ketoret, and we'll see which one Hashem accepts. And we know the story. Aaron's Ketoret is accepted, and they all are consumed in a fire. But why choose the Ketoret? So apparently the Ketoret was like the paradigmatic Korban of Aaron. It's the one that established and reflected his leadership. There's another example as well. We don't know what exactly Nadav and Abihu did wrong. Ba'akrivam Eish Zara Lifnei Hashem Vayamutu. So there's different opinions. Were they drunk? Were they, you know, being disrespectful to Moshe? Or Halacha Bifnei Rabam? But the Gemara, we're learning Sanhedrin this year in Torah Shabbal Pass, so it's good to quote the Gemara. So the Gemara in Masachet Sanhedrin, Daf Nun, says that what was the sin of Nadav and Abihu? It says that basically they were usurping the role of their father, extension Moshe. So the Gemara there on Daf Nun says that Amar lo Nadav l'Avihu, matayamutu shnei azakzikenim halalu ve'ani ve'atan anhigit ador. And they wanted to show that they were really in charge. So what do? They bring a ketoret. So again, if you want to establish that you're the real Kohen Gadol, or you should be, bring a ketoret, a second level of connection. But I think the most profound level of connection between Aaron and the Ketoret is as follows. We know in the Mishnah Navot, Hillel Hayomer, Rabbi Mital Midav Shel Aaron, Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Et Abriyot, and Mekarvan LaTorah. So this notion of Ohev Et Abriyot, and Mekarvan LaTorah, that bring the entire Jewish people together, even those who are, you know, not the spiritually speaking the best. So the Braita that expands on this Mishnah called the Avot de Rabbi Natan. So it says there that what Aaron used to do is if he heard that somebody was a sinner, he would immediately try to become friends with them. Not so that he could criticize them, and not so that he could do kfiyah datit, religious coercion. He wasn't interested in that. He just wanted to be friends with him. And what ended up happening is that through the friendship, the person would end up saying to themselves, Im Aharon ayayodeya, if Aaron would only know, you know, the way that I am, he would never want to be friends with me. So people would just shape up on their own. And that this was Aaron's calling card. He brought the whole Jewish people together. He was a great uniter of the Jewish people. Ohev et habriyot mikarvan laTorah. Not because he was angry or yelled at people or tried to coerce them or tried to tell them what to do. Lahafach, he wasn't interested in that. That wasn't his style. His style was to love people and interact with them, and they would draw their own conclusions. It's much more effective then. It's also much more effective now. Okay, so it's a good lesson in its own right. So in any event, the Gemara seems to connect this to the Ketoret. What's the connection between all of this and the Ketoret? So there were 12 different spices that went in the Ketoret. One of them is the Chelbina. So the Gemara Masechet Kritut Davav says Chelbina Recha Ra. As an unpleasant smell. So the Gemara wants to, so why is it in the Ketoret? Pick something. There's plenty of nice, you could think of 12 nice smelling spices or have just 11.
It's a bad apple
in every. So that's what the Gemara says, exactly right. So it says, Kol Ta'anit She'ein Ba Miposhei Yisrael Eina Ta'anit. Which means that any day when the Jewish people get together in fasting and prayer, that somehow the less optimal members of the Jewish people, the Poshei Yisrael, aren't participating in, it doesn't count. And we learn that lesson from the Ketoret, the Gemara says, because the Chalbana establishes that we don't just want the Jews who are, they would say in Israel, the Dasim. This is not the entire Jewish people. We want everybody to participate. It's Am Yisrael. And that's what the Ketoret represented. So that seems to be exactly the life goal, the life mission of Aharon. That he wanted everybody to be part of it. By the way, that's why before Yom Kippur, which is the day of the year that we most remember Aharon, Bezot Yavo Aharon al Kodesh. Remember, the Avodat Yom HaKippurim was based on the Ketoret. Ki Be'anan Yirael HaKetoret. He would go in with the Ketoret to the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, and the entire room would fill with smoke, and then he would come out. So that's why, and to this day, even though we don't have Avodat Yom HaKippurim, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, but what do we do before we pray on Yom Kippur? We say a special preamble to the prayer, Al Dar HaMakom, Al Dar HaKahal, Beveitin Shomal, Beveitin Shomata, Anu Matirin, Lit Palel Im Avaryanim. Why do we do that? This is based on the Gemara Masachet Kritut Afav. Kol Tanit, Shein Bami Poshe Yisrael, Ina Tanit. If you want Yom Kippur to be effective, so we need the Poshe Yisrael to team up with us. So everybody here should go out and recruit a few Poshe Yisrael to come to their synagogue to make sure that your prayers will be accepted. And this is the lesson of Aharon's life. So another connection between Aharon and the Ketoret. So if all these things are true, and Aharon really does have a special and personal connection with the Ketoret, so then it makes a lot more sense for the Mizbeach HaKetoret, which we already described that he would be the only one that would be able to operate on, so to speak, and put the blood on. So all of that should really be Aharon. It should be in Parashat Tetzaveh. Okay, so very good. So even though, now we come to our second question, it doesn't technically have to be Aharon to offer the Ketoret. It makes a lot of sense for the Torah to present Uvalot Aharon et Hanerot Bein Arbaim Yaktirena V'kriv Alav Aharon Ketoret Samim Baboker Baboker Beitivo et Hanerot. So the point is that the Torah presents the Ketoret as if it's Aaron's korban because in many ways it was personally related to him. Okay, so that answers our original questions, I hope, and I just want to take one half a step further. It's really interesting. So we mentioned that the structure of Parashat Tetzaveh basically is Big Day Kohen, really Big Day Kohen Gadol, then Shivat Yimei Amiluim, then we have the Korban Tamid, and then we have the Mizbeach HaKetoret. So I left off one little thing at the beginning. And that the first two psukim deal with the Ner Tamid. It doesn't say that it's connected to the menorah. Later on in Parashat Emor, the Torah spills the beans and says, by the way, the Ner Tamid will be on something called the menorah. So there's a very beautiful arc to the Parashat Tetzaveh, right? Because it begins with La'alot Ner Tamid. V'atat Tetzaveh b'nei Yisrael v'ikhu elecha shemen zayit zach katit la'maor La'alot Ner Tamid. Okay? And then the Torah ends the parsha. Parsha Tetzaveh ends with Uvalot Aharon etaneirot bein harbaim yaktiren. So we have this very special connection between the neirot, the illumination of the menorah, and the ketoret, which creates the opposite, a fog. Ki be'anan eral haketoret. These are opposites. Or ve'anan. One you helps you see, one of them fogs your vision. And if they always come together, you have to do one at the same time as the other. And davar v'hipucho, something at its opposite. But this is the beautiful thing, that I think in the Avodah HaMishkan, the idea really was that sometimes in our lives, spiritually speaking, we have experiences of minora. Here, things are clear. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, we have experience of the anan. Kilo yirani adam v'chai, mirachok Hashem nirali, v'yarta mako mirachok. And it's easy to sort of allow one or the other to dominate your point of view. To say, oh, things are always good, or to say things are always bad. And yet in the Mishkan, the Mikdash, they have to be tied together. It reminds me of a Gemara about Hilchot Brachot. Kashem shechayev adam levarech al tova, ka chayev levarech al hara'a. Is that we relate to God in different life situations and in different spaces in different ways. We see that, of course, sometimes we have wonderful times in our lives, the menorah, illuminating times, times of great or. We get ready Chodesh Adar, Layudim Haita Ora. And sometimes we experience darkness, Ki Be'anan. These are tied together. And a full and mature relationship with God can only be based on a recognition that God reveals himself in both ways. Ki be'anan era el akaporet, and also lahalot ner tamid. And so in a very beautiful way, the Torah tied these together. So now here's the extra half step with Aaron. So think about Aaron's career. Aaron's career really spanned the most illuminating moments for the Jewish people, the lahalot ner tamid moments, and also the darkest moments. Aaron, of course, was the one who was most responsible for the greatest sin in Jewish history, the Egel Azav, which came right after Har Sinai and sort of undermined the process. And that was almost it. That was almost the last chapter. The Torah says in Sefer Torah, Moshe tells the Jewish people after Aaron passed away, he didn't want to embarrass Aaron in his lifetime, but after Aaron passes away in the 40th year, on the first day of the month of Av, it's the only Yom HaShanah, it's the only Yortzeit we have recorded in the Torah, is the death of Aaron. Moshe, we have to figure out based on the calculation, it's not written in the Torah. Yeah, it's not written in the Torah. The rabbis had to figure that out when Moshe was born. So after Aaron died, so the beginning of the 11th month, so the beginning of Shvat, so Moshe starts his speech. And he tells the Jewish people that because of the Egel HaZahav, V'gam be'aharon hitanaf Hashem me'od l'hashmido. Was the end. Va'at pelel ba'ad Aaron ba'in ahi. So Aaron was there at the darkest of times for the Jewish people, but he was also present for the greatest moments. I don't only mean Yitziat Mitzrayim and Yam Suf, because he wasn't unique in that respect. But perhaps the greatest moment is Vahi ba'yom hashmini, on the eighth day, when Hashem literally came to dwell amongst the Jewish people. It was Aharon who ascended, Vayisat Yadav al Ha'am Vayivarchem, and he does the original Birkat Kohanim to the Jewish people, and the fire comes down,